Hello and welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 Category Smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to The Life Note, Where Good Ideas Come From, by Stephen Johnson and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. Good ideas are not conjured out of thin air. They are built out of a collection of existing parts, the composition of which expands and occasionally contracts over time. End quote. Where Good Ideas Come From by Stephen Johnson offers a unique perspective on factors that lead to idea generation. You might think that coming up with good ideas or innovations is something that just happens, kind of like a lightning bolt that suddenly goes off in your brain and whoosh, the million-dollar idea just shows up there. Of course, it would be nice if it really worked that way, but that's rarely the case. What really happens are that sparks come from areas such as connections and networks, hunches, serendipity, errors, other platforms to build upon, or any number of other places. In fact, sometimes the whole process is rather messy. Author Stephen Johnson has written 11 books in areas such as science, technology, and personal experience. He has also contributed to many periodicals, is an advisory board member, and has co-created several influential websites. In this Life Note, we'll take a quick look at each of the 7 areas that the author has identified as contributors to good ideas. This is an engaging and thought-provoking book that you will undoubtedly enjoy. So are you ready to get your own ideas firing? Let's jump right in. The Adjacent Possible, YouTube and Internet Connections. Quote, what the adjacent possible tells us is that at any moment the world is capable of extraordinary change, but only certain changes can happen. End quote. Innovation doesn't happen in isolation. It takes certain ideas bumping into other ideas, or certain people bumping into others, or certain materials coming in contact with other materials that allows change to happen. And sometimes an innovative idea may exist, but it's simply limited by what is possible right there and then. The concept of the adjacent possible captures the idea that change is possible, but that change is constrained by some limitations that exist in the environment at that time. For example, if a caveman had the idea to create a machine that would allow him to fly, but the parts and technology to create that didn't exist, his innovative flying machine simply couldn't happen yet. Author Steve Johnson includes the example of YouTube, which, quote, would have been a spectacular flop if its creators had tried it 10 years earlier, end quote. With the slow dial-up internet connections that initially existed, it could have taken over an hour to download a simple 2-minute YouTube video. It was only through the adjacent possible, which in this case included fast internet connections, that the YouTube innovation was able to catch on and succeed. One implication for you? Put yourself in situations where you foster the adjacent possible. Perhaps it involves changing your environment, such as working in a creative work environment. Or it can involve ensuring that your professional and social network includes people who can help you take your life to the next level. In essence, bumping into the right people for the changes you want next. So what will you add to your life book strategies to ensure that you're facilitating those new possibilities into your own life? Maybe the next YouTube idea is right there waiting to emerge if only you create the right conditions to allow it to happen. Go create the adjacent possible. Liquid networks, let the ideas flow. Quote, in the dense networks of the first cities, good ideas have a natural propensity to get into circulation. They spill over, and through that spilling they are preserved for future generations. End quote. When we hear the phrase liquid networks, just what does that mean? Well, let's examine both of those words in the context of innovation, liquid and networks. First, let's talk about networks. Johnson describes the fascinating network in our brain, which has around 100 billion neurons. Just to be clear, that's 100 billion with a B. For perspective, he writes that there are roughly 40 billion pages on the web. But even though you have the equivalent of more than 2 entire worldwide webs in your brain, just like the web, if those neurons were not able to connect with each other, they would be useless. When it comes to innovation, the connectivity of networks really matters. That's why, Johnson explains, quote, in the dense networks of the first cities, good ideas have a natural propensity to get into circulation. They spill over, end quote. Since cities have these dense networks, it's simply easier for ideas to spread to others. And speaking of spilling over, that brings us to the liquid part of liquid networks. Quote, on Earth, at least, the story of life's creativity begins with a liquid, high-density network, connection-hungry carbon atoms colliding with other elements in the primordial soup, end quote. As it relates to new ideas, Johnson explains that liquid is fluid, so ideas can spread, but there's also some stability to liquid so that the ideas don't just dissipate. When humans first began to organize themselves into something that looked like liquid networks, the innovation would begin to flow, suggests the author. You might find this to be true from your life when you were in school or in your workplace. The colliding and connecting of ideas fosters more ideas and innovation than if you were just hanging out on your own. Be sure to read more about this concept in Where Good Ideas Come From. The slow hunch. Let it percolate. Quote, you get a feeling that there's an interesting avenue to explore, a problem that might someday lead you to a solution, but then you get distracted by more pressing matters and the hunch disappears. So part of the secret of hunch cultivation is simple. Write everything down. End quote. You know the feeling. You just have a hunch that someone is not trustworthy, or maybe a hunch about a new business idea that could be really interesting. There's some kind of feeling, perhaps unexplained, that suggests you should pay attention to it. Johnson talks about the slow hunch in the context of innovation. It's important to pay attention to your hunches indeed. But an interesting point he makes is that hunches often take a long time to develop fully into full-blown innovations or worthy discoveries. He includes several stories of Charles Darwin in the book to help illustrate how his hunches helped advance towards his theory of evolution. When in later years his various notebooks were studied, it appears as if many of the puzzle pieces were there, but it took him a while to fully fit it all together to arrive at his theory of evolution. Johnson writes, quote, it is simply hard to pinpoint exactly when Darwin had the idea, because the idea didn't arrive in a flash. It drifted into his consciousness over time in waves, end quote. This is noteworthy, because we often think that brilliant discoveries come in a flash to those who are lucky enough to have that flash. But in truth, we all have hunches, and many of them simply come into our minds and then quickly disappear. To prevent disappearance, consider being more proactive about capturing your hunches. Try writing them down, or create a quick list called hunches or insights in your smartphone. You don't even need to act on them right away. Just capture them, allow them to simmer, and see if they may create some patterns. They may need some time before they blossom into something useful, or perhaps they'll just spark a completely different idea, but don't let them just fly away. Serendipity, how to create happy accidents. Quote, serendipity is built out of happy accidents, to be sure, but what makes them happy is the fact that the discovery you've made is meaningful to you. It completes a hunch, or opens up a door in the adjacent possible that you had overlooked, end quote. Don't you just love serendipity? You have that happy accident, an unexpected positive surprise. Maybe you run into a former colleague who just happens to be working in the company where your son wants to get a job. Or you get a car rental coupon in the mail the very day that you'd planned to book your rental car. Now, even though there are those genuine moments of serendipity, Johnson also suggests that we can help foster serendipity. When it comes to generating new ideas, for example, you can create conditions where you are most likely to come across insights or information that will encourage those new serendipitous connections to be made. A very simple example is the web, where you stumble across interesting and surprising information that might take your search into a new, interesting direction. Although Johnson reminds us that Google can also be a serendipity killer, since 99.999% of all content is filtered out to customize it for the user. Companies can also foster serendipity by creating more open databases of suggestions and ideas. The point is to not just sit back and wait for serendipity to happen to you, but to create the right conditions so that when the match is lit, the fire can start right away. Error, the wrong path to the right destination. Quote, the history of being spectacularly right has a shadow history lurking behind it, a much longer history of being spectacularly wrong again and again, and not just wrong, but messy. End quote. Did you know that the benefit of penicillin was discovered because Alexander Fleming mistakenly left a lab culture by an open window and mold contaminated the sample as a result? And the precursor of modern photography was developed when Louis Daguerre stored some iodized silver plates in a cabinet where fumes from some spilled mercury caused an image to appear on the plate. Those are great examples from the author of how sometimes simple errors lead to the biggest discoveries of all. It's helpful to know that it's a rather messy process to come up with those big ideas. Stops and starts, wrong turns, and even flat-out spectacular failures can all be a part of the process of getting to the end point of an amazing idea that can change the world. So don't be afraid of errors. Instead, you should be afraid of your own fear of making errors, because it's not those errors that will stop you, but rather the fear. In fact, Johnson stresses that, quote, being right keeps you in place. Being wrong forces you to explore. End quote. What a great reframe of being wrong. We love that. It's simply a path on our journey of exploration, perhaps an unintended path, but the result of which might be an even better destination. Exaptation. When one thing leads to another. Quote, a feather adapted for warmth is now exapted for flight. End quote. Here's how the author helps explain exaptation, which he tells us was first proposed by evolutionary biologists Stephen Jay Gould and Elizabeth Verba. Quote, an organism develops a trait optimized for a specific use, but then the trait gets hijacked for a completely different function. End quote. So the development of wings that allow birds to fly, quote, is thought to be an exaptation of a dinosaur wrist bone originally adapted for greater flexibility. End quote. When it comes to new ideas and innovations, then, it's quite possible that they may be best suited for a completely different application than the one you originally came up with in the first place. Johnson uses the example of the World Wide Web, which he says is, quote, in a sense, a story of continuous exaptation, end quote. Originally developed with an academic environment in mind, it morphed into ways that no one could have ever imagined, from shopping to photo sharing and, of course, the highly important sharing of silly cat videos. The author further explains how best to encourage good ideas from exaptation that you'll enjoy reading about. One simple one is to have a diverse social network so that you avoid being an island and can encounter some new ideas that you may be able to adapt for a completely different purpose. Platforms. It's all about adding. Quote, the web can be imagined as a kind of archaeological site with layers upon layers of platforms buried beneath every page. Tim Berners-Lee was able to single-handedly design a new medium because he could freely build on top of the open protocols of the internet platform. End quote. Innovation is often quite collaborative. The notion of a completely standalone idea that emerges up from nowhere is rarely the case. What often happens instead is platform is created, and layer upon layer upon layer, something is added onto it, eventually evolving that initial platform into something much more complex and robust. Johnson uses the example in nature of a beaver felling a tree, and in doing so, initiates a whole platform to be created where ducks and geese settle into beaver lodges, frogs, lizards, and insects become attracted to the artificial pond that's created, and so forth. Layer upon layer, the platform of the felled tree creates something totally different. And as mentioned in the earlier quote, the web was built on top of the open protocols of the internet platform. The system was already in place for computers to communicate with each other, so Tim Berners-Lee, who founded the World Wide Web, was able to just build upon that existing platform. Johnson writes, quote, all he had to do was build a standard framework for describing hypertext pages, HTML, and sharing them via existing internet channels, HTTP, end quote. You can look at many other technological companies today and see how they're built on the foundation of existing platforms. So with platforms, as with the other themes that Steven Johnson has shared in Where Good Ideas Come From, we don't need to start completely from scratch when we're trying to come up with something new. We can start with another idea or innovation that someone else has already jumped on, and then add our take on it to create something completely new and different and wonderfully additive. So what about you? Are you waiting for that lightning bolt to hit you with your next million-dollar idea? If so, how is that working out for you? It may be time for you to take a look around at all the other amazing ideas, technology, and other platforms that are already out there, just waiting for you to add your unique twist and innovation. We hope you found this life note valuable and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.